and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we had one of my favorite epistle readings. I want to explain a little bit about what St. Paul was doing in that reading, because that little section that we had, that we read today, it may not be completely clear. But what St. Paul is doing, we heard it at the end of today's reading, was he was admonishing the Corinthians. And he was admonishing the Corinthians by pointing out the difference between the way that he and the other apostles were living and the way that they were living. And so this is why St. Paul talks about the way that he lived. You see, the way that the Corinthians lived was basically a life that was not changed much by the gospel message, was not changed much by them deciding to become Christians. Sure, they would go to church, they would meet together in people's homes as the church community back at that time, not necessarily in dedicated buildings like we have today. They would read, I'm sure, they would have readings from Scripture and so forth, but when they left, their lives were no different than before. They continued to live in immorality. They continued to seek after the things of this world. They continued to seek after wealth and material things. And so St. Paul is pointing out to the Corinthians the error of their ways by pointing to his own life and the life of the other disciples and apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's pointing to himself and to them, saying, look at us, we have become homeless. We have nowhere to lay our heads consistently. We travel from one place to the next, spreading the good news. We are despised by this world because we don't seek after the things that this world seeks. We associate with people who in this world are not respected, and therefore people disrespect us. And so he's pointing out to the Corinthians the error of their way. In other words, look at what you're doing. If you're loved by the world, if you are seen as glorious in this world, you have the good things of this world, then you're not following the way that we taught you. And that's why St. Paul says at the end of this epistle, be imitators of me, and by extension of the other apostles as well. But he was the founder of the Corinthian church. And so today we have to ask ourselves the question, brothers and sisters, are we living as the apostles lived? Are we living the way that St. Paul lived? And you know, we don't have to make something up to figure out how the apostles lived, because we're told exactly how the apostles lived in the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, what we hear is that the early Christian community, the early disciples, the early followers of Christ, they came together into one community. They laid all of their wealth at the feet of the apostles, and they distributed to each one in the community as there was need. So again, they came together, they lived together, they pooled their money together, they continued their jobs and so forth. But they pooled their money together and distributed as each had need. Not as they had want, but as each had need. To my knowledge, there are only two ways that we have seen in this world today that this ideal is tried to be lived out. One of them is in small communities, such as Orthodox monasteries and various other communities throughout the world. But they tend to be small communities, and we have these types of communities, again, in our monasteries, where the monks come together, they bring whatever they have, whatever material possessions they have, they work jobs in most of the monasteries to raise some money for the very small subsistence that they need, and they distribute to one another as each has need. The other form that we see in practice is basically what we would call communism. The difference between these two, I think, if you want to boil it down, can be said as this. Other than the size of the issue, you know, in communism, you're trying to do it with an entire society. But the way that you do that is by force. In an Orthodox monastery, nobody is forcing you to come be a monk there. In fact, quite the opposite. If you go to an Orthodox monastery, if you didn't know different, you might think they're trying to kick you out. The reason being because they only want people there who are serious. And so to become an Orthodox monk, one has to go through a long process. You have to live at the monastery for quite some time as a novice. And once you have decided and seen the way that they live, and basically live as a monk, and you've had an opportunity to discern, and they've had an opportunity to discern if you would fit well with the community, then only then will they tonsure you as a monk. So you're doing this completely voluntarily. And obviously, you know, if a person wants to leave, they can leave. I mean, it's a serious issue for us because an Orthodox monk takes vows. It's a serious matter for them to decide. But nonetheless, they are free to leave if they wish to leave. And this provides for us, I think, an important lesson. We need to understand that God has given us as a community, as a larger community, obviously, once you start applying Christianity, once Christianity became legalized throughout the empire, the Roman Empire, and then became the official religion, you cannot enforce on everyone without great blowback. You cannot enforce on everyone to live as the monks and the nuns lived, and as the early Christians lived. But nonetheless, we have the choice to live more like that or to live less like they lived. And it's our choice. It's why St. John Chrysostom constantly preached about the ills of the love of money and of wealth. But he also balanced that with the fact that he did not support or advocate for people to be forced to do that, even in what was considered to be a Christian empire. He recognized that we needed to be converted in our hearts, not by the force of the government or the police, but by the force of the gospel. That we needed to have this love penetrating so deep in our hearts that we wished to share of our excess with those who have need. And it's important for us to understand this concept because unfortunately today many Christians, including many of us Orthodox, seem to think that our primary task is affecting the way that the government operates in one way or another. And this goes from both sides of issues, whether one is liberal or more conservative, where we want to use the government power to do what we ultimately should do as the apostles did, which is to convert people's hearts. It's why I talked about after the overturning of Roe v. Wade that the victory is not in what the government decides. The victory is in us converting people, converting hearts. The victory is in us showing people that there is a loving place for them, even if they have made poor decisions in their past. That there's a place for them to land. There's a support in the Christian community to help them out to make the best decision possible. So we need to recognize that. The second thing that I want to highlight as it relates to the way the apostles lived is something that I mentioned last week, and I'm sure you'll be hearing from me again. As I noted, as we had our focus group, the number one thing that I identified, that I thought about as we left from that valuable, our valuable meetings, the parish council also met afterwards with Mr. Chakos to speak about some other things. And I realized the one thing that we have to do to thrive as a community is to get back to being a family. And again, it's not like our community's broken. I'm not saying it in a negative way. But if we want to be thriving in 10 years and in 20 years, we have to make sure that we continue to be a family. And that's exactly the way that the apostles lived. As a family. You know, think about it in your own home, your own nuclear family. Most of our kids, they don't work. If they do, when they get older, they don't make a lot of money, but we start letting them buy some things on their own. But when they have need, what do? We use our money to provide for them. Again, this is similar to what the apostles did because they viewed their community as a family, as one big family. And so that's why when others didn't have enough, they provided for them. And that's our task here as this community of St. Mary in Wichita, is to provide for one another, not just monetarily either, by the way, but physically, spiritually, emotionally. We want to have a community where when our children are being raised in our homes and we have struggles with them, that we have people here in church that we can talk to, that can support us, that can help us in times of need. When we're struggling with our faith, that we have people that we can trust, that we go to and ask them for their prayers and ask them for their guidance and their support. That's ultimately the type of community that we need to be. I'll be leaving this week, brothers and sisters, for a vacation for a week. I leave on Tuesday, come back late the next Tuesday. But after that, I plan to get to work on what I mentioned about helping us to develop this sense, this idea of being a family. Again, not because there's a big problem, but because we want it to be even better. And we want to make sure that we set the foundation for our children and for their children and their children, just as our founders set the foundation for us to be here today. But I want you to ask yourself today, and I want you to think about it in the days ahead, are we living like the apostles? And again, I recognize that we're not going to come together in one neighborhood and split all of our money and to give to each other as there is need, but we need to become more like that. That's the ideal. We don't always attain the ideal, but we always have to have the ideal in front of us. It's why we have Jesus Christ on the cross in front of us. It's why we wear the cross around our necks. It's not because we have attained to that. Of course, we always fall short of it, but we always keep that as the ideal. And the ideal for how we live is the way that the apostles lived. It's the way that St. Paul lived as he taught the Corinthians today, and through them, how he taught us. We ask that God would help us to move in this direction, to glorify his name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, unto ages of ages. Amen.